ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. So today's topic for discussion is the ultimate the life of perfect Parshuram. Cultivating highest in Krishna consciousness. Oh. And the topic is into verse 20 of the chapter 1, canto 1, chapter 5, text 20 or 19. So text 19 of the fifth chapter of the first canto. Na vai janaha jatu kathanchana prajen. It's a combination of two words, kathanchana aprajye mukunda sevi anyavat anga sanskritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatum ichen na rasa graho janaha navai jano jatu kathanchana prajen navai jano jatu kathanchana prajen மூக்குந்த சேவ்யான் அவதங்க சம்சிதிம் மூக்குந்த சேவ்யான் அவதங்க சம்சிதிம் ஸ்மரன் முகுந்தாங்கி உபகுஹனம் புன ஸ்மரன் முகுந்தாங்கி உபகுஹனம் புன விஹாதுமிச்சென் ரஸோ க்ரஹோ ஜனஹ விஹாதுமிச்சென் ரஸோ க்ரஹோ ஜனஹ நவை ஜனோ ஜாது கதஞ்சன ப்ரஜேன் முகுந்த சேவி அன்னவத் அங்க சம்சிதிம் ஸ்மரன் முகுந்தாங்கி உபகுஹனம் புன விஹாதுமிச்சென் ரஸக்ரஹோ ஜனஹ நவை ஜனோ ஜாது கதஞ்சன ப்ரஜேன் முகுந்த சேவி அன்னவத் அங்க சம்சிதிம் ஸ்மரன் முகுந்தாங்கி உபகுஹனம் புன விஹாதுமிச்சென் ரஸக்ரஹோ ஜனஹ நவை ஜனோ ஜாது கதஞ்சன ப்ரஜேன் முகுந்த சேவ்யன்னவத் அங்க சம்ஸ்ருதிம் Smaran Mukundang Riupaguhanang Kunar Vihatumichenna Rasa Prahojanam. Na, never. Vai, certainly. Janaha, a person. Jatu, at any time. Kathanchana, somehow or other. Abrajet, does not undergo. Mukunda Sevi, the devotee of the Lord. Annabat, like others. Anga, O my dear. Sangsmritim, material existence. Smaran, remembering. Mukundangri, the lotus feet of the Lord. Upaguhanam, embracing. Unaha, again. Vihatum, willing to give up. Ichet, desire. Na, never. Rasagraha, one who relished the mellow. Janaha, person. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Vyasa, even though a devotee of the Lord, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, treaty workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Please repeat after me. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down from somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, treaty workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasagraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruity workers were always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. A karmi suffers the result of his own fruity reaction, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord Himself. The suffering of an orphan and the suffering of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his beloved father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association sometimes, imitates the fruitive workers. The fruitive workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange of devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord Himself. As a special favor, He may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position seemingly of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. That is the sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. A pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment, not even in exchange for all opulence of the three worlds. So this morning we had a class based on Narad Muni's admission to Vyasadeva. And here, from the same chapter, we are hearing about Narad Muni giving Vyasadeva some advice about the exalted position of the devotee of the Lord. And in that context, Prabhupada gives the example of the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Karmi means those who depend upon their own ability to enjoy. Those who want endeavor to enjoy themselves. And the law of nature is, right action will give you happiness and wrong action will make you suffer. That's called karmic reactions. Karma. Law of karma. As you sow, so shall you live. If you act in a good way, you will enjoy. If you act in a wrong way, you will be punished. So that is the principle of karmic reaction. And this verse, Narad Muni emphatically is telling Vyasadeva that a devotee, even if he falls down due to bad association, but he falls down, is not very serious. A mistake, and from a mistake you learn. And why he is not fallen, why he doesn't remain fallen? Because he has taken shelter of the Lord picks him up. So here again we are coming into another consideration. Who is a devotee and who is not a devotee? I said the karmis, they are simply trying to enjoy themselves. So materialistic person is one who depends upon his ability and means to do things. And a devotee is one who surrenders himself to the lotus feet of the Lord and depends upon the Lord's mercy. So there comes one factor. That factor is the factor of surrender. Devotee is one who has surrendered to the Lord, and non-devotee is one who did not surrender to the Lord. And here Prabhupada considered the devotee is like the son of a very rich man, and a non-devotee is an orphan. He has no one to take care of him. Therefore he has to fend for himself. And the unfortunate thing is, although he is in such a miserable condition, he thinks that he is enjoying. The orphan loitering in the street doesn't have any food to eat, or even a morsel of food. He has to beg or undergo so many difficulties, but he is thinking, oh, I am the king of the free world. That is the situation of a non-devotee. Whereas a devotee is the son of a rich man. He doesn't have to worry about it. He knows his father is there, he's a multimillionaire, and he doesn't have to worry about it. In that respect, Prabhupada once gave a very nice example. Prabhupada was walking in Juhu Beach, on Juhu Beach. Prabhupada often used to go for morning walk. And then, in Juhu Beach, some people were taking their dogs, walking their dogs. Nice looking dogs, beautifully groomed. The boss himself, now the master himself, is taking him for a walk with him on a leash. And there are some also stray dogs, pariyas. Right? And Prabhupada pointed out to the dogs. The dogs with the master and the dogs without a master. And Prabhupada asked, what's the difference between these two dogs? Devotees couldn't understand. They may say something, the difference. But visually you can see the difference. The pariyas, the here was the straight dog, street dog. And the dogs that have master. And Prabhupada just made that point. That these dogs don't have a master, and these dogs have a master. And see the difference. Then Prabhupada pointed out, that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The devotees have a master. Who is the master? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And these non-devotees, look at their condition. Like, don't have food to eat, never to bath, dirty, barking at other passers-by. And especially when they see the dog with the master, they bark at him. Why are you so fortunate? Why do you look so carefree? Why do you look so elegant? Why do you look so handsome? Don't the street dogs do that? The bark at the passerby, bark at the passing dog. So that is the difference. And what is the criteria here? Just to be surrendered. Krishna is there. Krishna is there to take care of everybody. Krishna is even taking care of the street dog, the pariyas. But Krishna is specially concerned about those who have surrendered unto him. When somebody surrenders unto Krishna, Krishna says, okay, I'll take care of you. But those who don't surrender, Krishna says, okay, you are on your own. For everything you have to earn yourself. And what is the criteria for earning? Punya. If you have punya, you'll get your food, If you don't have punya, you starve. That is their condition. You're on your own. So you decide. You're on your own. So you fend for yourself. But those who surrender to Krishna, Krishna says, I'll take care of you. But the surrendered devotee, he is so fond of Krishna, he loves Krishna so much that he thinks that I will take care of Krishna. Although Krishna is taking care of the whole world, the devotee thinks that I will take care of Krishna. That's the difference between a non-devotee and a devotee. So, this is a wonderful process that we have. And a devotee may sometimes make some mistake. He may say, okay, the son may steal the father. Okay, I'll try to be independent. But the father says, okay, go. But when the son suffers, then he comes back to the father. I'm sorry, I've made a mistake. I won't go against you anymore. Sometimes the son may even tell the father, I know better than you. The father says, okay, fine. Show me that you know better than me. So he goes and he suffers and then he comes back. So the suffering of a devotee is actually a stepping stone towards the spiritual state. He suffers and as a result of that, he becomes more serious. He realizes. The most intelligent thing to do is to surrender. So Krishna consciousness is so therefore there is a statement Jai Jan Krishna Bhaje She Bodo Chotur. Those who surrender themselves to Krishna, they are very smart. They are very intelligent. Because they know where to go and what to do. And those who don't surrender to Krishna, they are not only unfortunate, they are also very miserable. Or rather, I'll put it the other way around. They're not only miserable, but they're very unfortunate. They're unfortunate because the entire spiritual sky is there, open to them. But they say, no, we don't want shelter. The criteria for entering the spiritual world is just surrender. They are the prisoners. They are suffering in the prison house. They are being punished by the prison keeper and the attendants of the prison. They are beating them up mercilessly. They are suffering. And their condition is, their consideration is, why don't you surrender to the Lord? No, I won't surrender. Man. Surrender to the Lord. No, I won't surrender. Again, bang. But if they just did that, yes, surrender. No more suffering. Then those jail keepers who are beating them up, they'll say, okay, come, I'll take you to the Lord. That's what Maya does. Maya is proposing surrender to Krishna. And the condition soul says, no. Then Maya back. Then the condition says, Maya says, surrender to Krishna. But they adamantly keep on telling, no, I won't surrender. Who is Krishna? I don't believe in Krishna. Krishna is God. God, I am God. Everybody should worship me. Don't have food to eat. Don't have any place to stay. He thinks, I am God. And Maya is trying to rectify his mentality. Smashing, beating, mercilessly, dying and dying. But he just keeps on saying, no, I won't serve. But all it takes is just to say, okay, sorry, made a mistake. I realize now. Now the problem is that when Maya is beating, they don't realize that the way to get out of the suffering condition is to surrender. The only person who can carry that message to him is the devotee. That's why the devotees have the solemn responsibility to carry the message to the suffering condition. Only the devotee can tell and they can understand. Otherwise there is no way of understanding. If everyone is suffering and nobody knows the way out of the suffering condition, and they are struggling life after life to remove that suffering condition. But the way of this, way out of that suffering condition is so simple. The surrender to And who carries this message? Surrender to Krishna and all your sufferings will disappear. Who carries the message? Devotee. That's why the devotees have a very important responsibility to preach. Especially when you see that people are suffering. And that's why when they're enjoying, they don't want to hear. But when they're suffering, then they're open to listen. So we should be, the devotees should always be prepared to carry the message to them and wait for the time when they are in the right frame of mind to accept those instructions. So when they are suffering, then we say, come, come in. Another example can be a traveler in a desert dying of thirst and he is running after a mirage. Mirage, what is a mirage? How many of you have seen a mirage? Oh, I haven't. So what does mirage? What is a mirage? The mirage is, in the middle of a desert, you get the impression that there is water. Who knows how it happens? What causes the appearance of a mirage? Anybody? Physics? Total internal reflection. Yeah, it's due to reflection. Because hotter air is lighter, isn't it? Desert, it's very hot. The atmosphere makes the hotter air go up and thicker air goes down. And the, what the hotter air makes? The light ray to bend. Right? From thicker air, when the light goes to the thinner air, the thing bends. It bends and bends. So it is bending, bending, bending. Then it reaches the optimum angle, critical angle. Then it doesn't go that way anymore, but that goes down. It's going up, but then it bends. So then what happens? You get this, get to see the thing upside down due to reflection. It's just an illusion caused by reflection of light. And thinner air, it makes it look shake, waver, and it gives the impression of water. You see a palm tree upside down and it's wavering. So that makes you feel as if there is water. But is there water? It's an illusory concept. Illusion. It's hot sand. Just opposite. It's fire, but it gives the impression of water. So that's what the material nature is like. It's a place of suffering, but we think that there is something. Now, a traveler thinks that that is water and he keeps on running. He doesn't know where water is. So he just keeps on running because at least he feels that there is some possibility of some water. But the more he runs, the more the mirage runs away. Now, how can the traveler who lost his way in the middle of the desert find out where actual water is? How can he find out? Somebody has to tell him. Somebody who knows where the oasis is, he comes and he tells him that, look, this is mirage, this is not where the water is. The water is there. Come with me. I'll take you to water. Now, who is that person in the middle of the desert who gives the information about the oasis to the traveler who lost his way? Who is that person? Devotee. Yeah. Devotee of Krishna. And then what he does? He pulls out a bottle of water and says, drink it. Now, is there any way not to believe him? So that is what a devotee does. And that is how the good devotee creates the good fortune for a suffering conditioned soul. So that is why the devotees must preach. There are so many travelers who lost their way in the middle of the desert. And now we have to give them the right information and relieve them from their suffering. So are you fulfilling that responsibility? Who is doing that? Please raise your hand, those who are doing that. Or should I consider that you all are very humble? Okay, I'll make it easier for you to raise your hand. Who all are trying to do that? Okay, thank you. So that's what we do. Now the consideration is, did you find out that this material world is a desert? And everyone here is running after a mirage. The possibility or the prospect of enjoyment in this material nature is like running after a mirage. How many of you understood that? This material nature, the endeavor to enjoy in this material nature is like running after the mirage. In that respect, Prabhupada once told me, so many lifetimes you are trying to enjoy and you can see that you are still not satisfied. So that's it. We are running life after the mirage. And therefore, our thirst still did not, we didn't quench our thirst. So that's the first thing that we realize when we come across a pure devotee. He makes us recognize the real face of the thing. And then he shows us the way to the way. Did you find the oasis? How many of you got the information about the way? Very good. So are you going to give the information to those travelers in the middle of the desert who lost their way? We simply have to tell them, look, why are you running after that? With all your money, are you still happy? You are trying to enjoy and you have made so much money. You tried in so many ways to enjoy. Are you really enjoying or you are suffering? And if they realize that they are suffering, they are ready. And then you tell them that this is a mirage. You'll never be able to quench your thirst. Come with me. I'll take you to the water. And it's not only oasis. It is an ocean of water. It's an ocean of water. There you can drink that water. You can swim in that water. You can even drown yourself in it. Ocean of ecstasy. So that is what Krishna consciousness is. And that is the responsibility we have. Now that we found the information, this world. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. In our history, Ganganathan Prabhu is going to accept sannyas. In relation to that, I just wanted to ask one question. What is the importance of sannyas? Second, why one should take it, specifically for Brahmachari? Whether Brahmachari should take it or not, what are the challenges one may face in taking sannyas? And why Srila Prabhupada was asked by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he should take sannyas? Though Srila Prabhupada was a vanaprastha at that time, he was already like a family life, but still it was necessary for him to take sannyas. What the set of questions are there? Five set of questions.
Okay, very good. Very good. Why should one take sannyas when he is a brahmachari? You see, general understanding is that brahmachari is a student and sannyas is a teacher. Right? So when a brahmachari develops certain degree of maturity and he assumes the role of a teacher, then, you know, like varnashram is like a, you know, state by which, or rather Vedic culture is like that. We recognize an individual by his dress. Like in the Vedic culture, say for example, a warrior will dress in a certain way and a brahmana will dress in another way. Vaishya will dress in another way, Sudra will dress in another way. Right? Do you remember Parikshit Maharaj saw a Sudra dressed like a king? That means he is Sudra, but he is dressed like a Kshatriya. Similarly, a doctor, you will recognize just by the way he dresses. So similarly, you recognize a brahmachari by his dress, and you recognize a sannyasi by his dress. You recognize a student by his dress, and you recognize the teacher by his dress. So when somebody assumes the role of a teacher, then he changes his dress. That's one thing. And along with the dress, it's not only just a matter of changing the dress, it is changing his situation as well. Like a student, brahmachari can get married, but a sannyasi can never get married. Should never. Like brahmachari still has his door open, right, for household aspect. But for sannyasi, the door is closed behind. So these are the reasons why it is important to take sannyas. Like again with vanaprastha, is practicing, but a sannyasi is an instructor. So because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted Prabhupada to preach, therefore he pushed him, take sannyas. Just as we are pushing Radhishyam Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Yes, please. Oh, the microphone.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, in the beginning, you were saying that if somebody is surrendered to Krishna and due to something he commits some mistake, still he comes back to Krishna again. So I just wanted to know that what is that surrender considered as, and what is the level of that duty to be considered?
Well, it the main consideration is that because you have got the taste, because one got the taste, even if it deviates due to some mistake or allurement or even bad association, bad provocation. But then very quickly he realized, wow, that's a mistake. This is not a path of enjoyment. That is the life of enjoyment. So what happens, he just leaves everything and comes back to that. Yeah, okay.
Maharaj, sometimes we are talking about when the devotees are falling, when they fall, Sri Krishna considers them his own, he's considered sadhu. But in my case, I feel sometimes devotees are cheating other devotees in a money matter. So to see him as a sadhu becomes difficult for me. So how can I say? Because I am seeing that person is really cheating, and there are so many devotees making money, and you know. So to see me, that person on a devotee level, feel difficult for me. So how can I see that?
Okay. Anyway, if somebody is not properly situated, he should be corrected. That's why we have the authority structure. Right? Like, but the thing is, apparently dealing with money is no problem for a devotee, provided he is using it in Krishna service. Like Prabhupada once told, jokingly, the difference between Mayavadis and us is that when somebody gives money to a Mayavadi, he puts his hand behind his back and says, no, we don't want to touch money, we don't want. But when someone gives us money, we take it with our right hand and we stretch our left hand for some more. Because it is being used in Krishna. We are benefiting them by doing that. The money, actually, what is their money means what? It's a stolen goods. Krishna's property, they're claiming to be theirs. So the devotees are purifying that stolen goods by making them surrender it to the proprietor. So there is no harm in dealing with money, but at the same time, one should be careful that it is not being inappropriately misused.
My question is, Maharaj, that other devotees cheating in their dealing money matter. Like there is one devotee, he is cheating other devotees.
He is treating other devotees.
Cheating.
Oh, cheating. Oh, okay.
So that,
as I said, like, you know, no misappropriation or misbehavior should be tolerated. Prabhupada gave us the responsibility, special to the leader, to keep ISKCON pure. Maintaining ISKCON's purity means no hanky-panky. If somebody is cheating, why should it be tolerated? He should be warned, and if he is not corrected, if he doesn't want to correct, then remove him. This place is not meant for unscrupulous individuals. Prabhupada was very careful that unscrupulous individuals are not taking advantage of it. Yeah, that shouldn't be taught. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the renowned order like Brahmacharya Ashram, there is a sadhana and association with devotee. This relationship is very, very important. But many times, the practicing sadhaka, he gets so much hooked by the false ego. And he has a problem, relationship problem with the devotees or fellow devotees. So, how he can situate himself with proper association of duty?
I didn't get the point quite clearly.
Actually, I will repeat my question once again. ब्रह्मचारी आश्रम में जो फर्स्ट पार्ट इज साधना एंड सेकंड इज रिलेशनशिप विद द डिवोटी, बोथ थिंग्स आर वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट. बट मेनी टाइम द प्रैक्टिसिंग साधका ही गेट ओवर पावर्ड बाय फॉल्स ईगो एंड बिकॉज ऑफ फॉल्स ईगो ही इज नॉट सिचुएट हिमसेल्फ विद द प्रॉपरली सिचुएट हिमसेल्फ विद द डिवोटी. And because of false ego, he has not having a good relationship and association of devotee. So how he can improve himself?
You ask Radhishyam. You see, these are the practical challenges that the local management has to deal with. Like, the first consideration is, should we allow, is it desirable to develop false ego in Krishna consciousness? So at the very outset, at the very beginning, something is wrong. So he should be taught, he should be encouraged to give up his false ego. We are not here to develop our false ego, deflate our false ego. We are here to deflate our false ego. Initially, somebody may have some false ego, but the leaders, the teachers, have to see that he is actually getting rid of it, not he is promoting. Okay, last question. Yes.
So nicely you spoke about Srila Prabhupada's position in ISKCON, and there also you strayed about reading Srila Prabhupada's books. In our brahmachari life also, so much we are strayed to read Srila Prabhupada's books. So my question is that down the line also Prabhupada's disciples and his grand disciples, they also write many books. And as you know, they are repeating what Prabhupada has told in his books. So how much effective these books are in purifying somebody's heart? And can they be stressed on distributing and reading?
Yeah. You see, all these books are eventually, helping understand Srila Prabhupada. That is, that should be the main motivation for writing. Like in ISKCON, everyone's business is to enhance Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes, through some writing. Say, for example, Kamal Krishna Maharaj was assigned by Prabhupada to preach in China. Now, the Chinese people could not directly go to Bhagavad Gita. He saw that. So, he wrote a novel based on some Chinese character leading to Bhagavad Gita. He saw the need to present it in such a way that they will understand. So similarly, in future, people, devotees will write like that. For people to, for example, Radhanath Maharaj's journey home. It's creating such a wonderful effect among the people who are not going to come straight to Krishna. But it is through that book is making them interested about it. So this is how devotees in the future will write their books. Thank you all very much. All glory. You have a question? Okay. Hare Krishna. There is one question. Jago Rukh. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Pam Ho. Where is the AGTSP? You mentioned that one who is endeavoring for enjoyment is a karmi. Now we sometimes get options to choose service and take up service as we like. Is this also karmi mentality? Those, I think it's who, also we come, there also we came out of this and take services just as given to us, fully surrendered, not choosing what we like. Okay. You see, there are different levels of advance. At a neophyte stage, you know, we may opt for some service that we like to do. Right? Because it's kind of, we still have the tendency, if not to enjoy, but at least to do things in a comfortable way, easily. But when one makes advancement, then he doesn't care about whether he likes it or not. Whatever is offered to him, he just does. So it will depend upon the degree of advancement of the individual. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And I had a wonderful time with you all the last 2 days. And
Srila Bhaktisar Sai Maharaj ki
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
Yesterday, Maharaj spoke in the Brahmacharya class about the good fortune that we have received by joining the Brahmacharya Ashram, Brahmachari Gurukule. He was speaking about that yesterday. So many things he said, and all the devotees felt themselves million times more fortunate than what they considered that they are fortunate even before. So I felt it was a very encouraging Brahmacharya class yesterday, and also he answered many questions. The night Maharaj spoke about the position of Srila Prabhupada and the importance of aligning with Srila Prabhupada, and with very beautiful illustrations of the ship going in the ocean of Kali Yuga leading to the spiritual world. So Maharaj actually teaches the art of becoming an instrument in the Prabhupada's mission. Without blocking the mercy of Prabhupada coming to the people. So very beautifully he explained that yesterday. And today also in the morning in the Narada section, Maharaj was explaining about how Narada, before bringing Vyasa and Narada, Maharaj explained about Buddha and Shankara and Yadavyas giving the Srimad Bhagavatam, leading to the path of pure devotional service. And the qualities of a devotee. I feel many a times Maharaj gives very simple and very lucid illustrations that he explains, which very profoundly bring out lessons. Just like in the class that we have heard just now, the example of the mirage, he gave, elaborated on it so nicely. And he also said that a devotee shows hand to the reservoirs of water which is far away, but he pulls out a bottle of water also. Which is like the immediate higher taste that devotee awards to the suffering souls to hook them to the path of spiritual life, which will eventually lead them to spiritual world. So, and Maharaj is, as I told you, Maharaj is very merciful. He answers the questions in such a enlightening and enlivening way. One of the questions I liked was about Tushratma Krishna Prabhu's question, which Maharaj answered. He gave two answers to that. One is, giving an instruction that actually you have to pay the price to go back to the spiritual world. You can't afford to be lazy. But another answer is, how the devotee is also needed here to preach, to stay in this world, and you are not a waste of
resources in the material world here. You have a goal, you have a purpose also. So I was very thrilled by this answer, because when I was asking the same question to one Swami on why Nalakkur Manigiri, even though they had darshan of Lord Krishna, you know, they spoke such beautiful prayers to him, and then they ascended to the heaven. They didn't go back to spiritual world. So, of course, that Swami was telling, Lord Krishna wanted them to go to heavenly planet because there was a lot of opportunity for preaching there. Because they were originally sanctifiers, but they became purified by Krishna's glance and Krishna's deliverance. So Krishna wanted them to go and take this Bhagavata message to the heavenly Vasis. So that was a very satisfying answer to me at that time. Similarly, Maharaj gives an answer which is from all different angles, deeply nourishing to their soul and our intelligence. So we look forward to having such a wonderful association of Maharaj in future also. We'd like to thank Maharaj. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Bhakti Chara Swami Maharaj ki.